Welcome to episode 313 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Why was I holding my breath? Was there...
It's all right, man. I put silence over that on your track every time. It's just...
Cool. I can make all the noise I want.
Just last week, we had It's Not a Machine.
It's not
the
a
ramp,
machine.
One of the machines.
Oh, right, yeah. Right, that's right.
A machine. I looked up what a simple machine is, right? Because okay. You'd ask. Yeah. And I don't remember anymore. I read it. I went, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I don't need to write that down.
Even for the ramp?
Okay. They all, none of them have power. They're not a power source. Okay. You push, pull, or whatever on them, and then things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them will trade distance for force.
Okay.
Right. If you could carry something half the distance, it'll take twice as much force.
Okay.
Or vice versa, you know, twice the distance and it take half as much force.
That's a ramp.
Yeah, but that's without friction. But, you know, going back to the piano example, moving a piano up a ramp, it's good to have a little friction.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to get into one of these syphysis. Yeah, the dude with the boulder rolling it up over the,
yeah,
on the hill over
I'll be here forever.
Yeah. So, friction. It's nice to overcome it, though, when it's a problem.
Right,
like if you want to move your 16-ton block of whatever to build whatever you're going to be building.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'd be nice to cut down on the friction there.
Mm-hmm.
How about rollers?
Oh, heck yeah.
Really simple idea. You know, when I never checked, though, whether I always picture somebody just putting logs in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you dress the logs, take off the limbs, maybe cut off the extra bumpy bits.
Yeah, but otherwise, yeah, round rollers.
But I wonder if anybody ever made purpose-built rollers out of whatever.
Hmm.
The downside to roller is, like, while you're pushing your block forward, a roller's going to come out from underneath it.
Right.
And now you got to grab that log, which is usually heavy and awkward, and run it up forward and stick it back underneath the thing.
You just need all the neighbors and all their livestock.
I think it'd be crazy if, like, one of the logs or one of the rollers gets off angle from the rest of them.
Oh, goodness. How annoying that would be. Or if it, one of them was more tapered than they thought.
Oh, wow.
We're turning. Why are we turning?
So it'd be nice if you could somehow bring the log with you.
Oh.
It just keeps rolling underneath you, and that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the wheel.
Oh, ha!
Which took forever.
Hmm.
And the first ones weren't even for that. Or at least the first ones they have evidence of were they were potter's wheels.
Oh, okay.
In Mesopotamia around 4000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, okay. Good.
It's spinning. It's round. I mean, it's a wheel.
As far as, like, carrying something on wheels, the first couple of examples we have of that are toys, actually.
Oh. Huh.
They show up a few hundred years before the wheel as a transportation device. Like little toy carts buried with children.
Huh. That's weird. If they got toy carts, aren't there really real carts? I mean.
That is the very question researchers have been asking. The wheels start showing up in artwork and so forth around 3500 BC.
Mm.
And they seem to show up everywhere, more or less at once. The idea caught on quick.
Yeah, good idea. I need one of those.
It's kind of hard to do, though. You're keeping this stationary thing going along with your rolly thingies.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of ways to do it. You can either fix the wheels to an axle and then have the axle spin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go through some sort of mounts on your cart thingy that have to be all greased up and fit right.
Oh, all friction.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Don't wheels on cars or axles on cars spin?
The axles themselves? The front axles in my car, because it's front-wheel drive, absolutely
spin. The drive axle does spin. Yeah. So they do both. Because the other way is just to have a fixed axle and have the wheels spin around that, which strikes me as easier when you're starting from scratch. But either way, you got to be able to have the hub of the wheel, the hole in the middle, fit snugly but not too snugly around this axle thingy. And then, you know, like vegetable grease or animal fat, or you got slick it up.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest wheels we found come from about 3200 BC.
Okay.
Including one guy near the Black Sea. One guy, because it's a cart, it's the wheels, it's the guy, about 30 years old, all buried together.
Oh, he had a bad day. Oh, man. But thank goodness.
No, this wasn't a landslide or anything. This was on purpose.
What? What? Was this a sacrifice?
He was really attached to that cart, man. Sven?
Coming with me.
Improvement in about 2000 BC was the spoked wheel.
Aha.
They first started getting used for chariots around 3200 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Wartime.
Da-da-da.
And that changed everything, right? Because that led to the Spartans and then Alexander the Great and then the Roman Empire.
Nothing like a good war for invention.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we get the wheelbarrow somewhere around the 6th or 4th century BC.
Did it? The wheelbarrows I know and love have one wheel in the front, and that always struck me as dumb.
You know, I didn't look.
Oh.
That struck you as dumb? It makes it so easy to steer.
True, but it's also very tippy.
Well, it's better than the rollers by a long shot, let me tell you.
Okay, good point. Why are we turning?
Okay. All right, so once you got the wheel, if you want, you can put a groove around the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And put a rope around it.
Uh-huh.
And now you got a pulley.
Uh-huh.
Also, remarkably long time for this to happen, even after the wheel. You get them in about 1500 BC, as it composed of 3500 BC, in Mesopotamia again.
Okay.
And there's no magic here. This is just the straight, I'm going to pull down instead of up pulley for hauling water.
Okay.
Somewhere around 287 to 212 BC. Our boy Archimedes demonstrated a compound pulley.
That means more than one?
Block and tackle.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Pulley's got this magic, right? If you put the pulley on the load and run a rope through it and tie the other end to something up above it, suddenly it takes half the force to lift it.
Yeah, I hear there's calculations. Like, you use a bunch of pulleys.
And friction, right? There's only so far you can go before the strength needed to just pull the rope through the pulleys.
We had to work in shifts just to move this thing 1 foot.
Yeah, well, apparently Archimedes was demonstrating this thing.
Mm.
And so he hauled a ship with, I've heard 200 to 600 passengers, grab a rope and hauled them.
Yeah.
Okay. One account said it was originally written by Plutarch, what I imagine was ancient Greek.
With a name like Plutarch. Yeah.
So one thing said that they pulled it up on the beach. Another one said he just pulled it to the dock. Yeah, you know, accounts differ.
Yeah.
I'm getting this like eighth hand here.
Do they want to be impressed with it or not? I mean, are they?
Yeah, seriously.
Are they embellishing?
All right, our hero.
Oh.
Heron.
Hey!
Heron, the hero Heron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we talked about him.
Good segue.
Thanks. I've been practicing on Monday. For half a second there, I thought I could hear my heartbeat. I was like, is that going to come through? If I normalize to zero? Welcome to episode When Brad Died in the Lab.
That's a weird title.
I was going to complain about BrainBot's business.
Yes.
But this is like take 5 or whatever, so let's just leave it alone. Mm. I'm beginning to think I'm not allowed to talk about that project anymore.
Back magic sort of craziness.
Yeah. Sorcery, I say.
Yeah.
I want to talk about automatic mechanisms, though.
Okay.
We've got an automatic vending machine.
Yes, we do.
And we've got some automatic doors.
Okay.
And that's enough.
Okay.
Automation, man. Once you figure out that you can use something spinny to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can get something to spinny the thingy for you. So you could get a guy to do it, like, you know, Conan the Barbarian. That's right. Or you could tie a donkey on there.
That's what I was just
thinking. Yeah, or make a water wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There is one drawing from the 1st century A.D.
Oh.
By the guy I want to talk about today. Either Hero or Heron. Okay. Of Alexandria. It's spelled H-E-R-O with an optional N on the end for some reason.
Do you get an N when you get married? Or
I don't know.
What is going on?
He lived in Egypt. Okay. The northern edge of Egypt, the southern shore of Mediterranean.
Right.
Still part of Greece or the Greek lands, sort of, except Greece and their holdings were very much Roman by this point.
Okay.
In fact, and by 30 BC, Cleopatra had killed herself.
What a terrible way to start.
Well, then they'd gone through all that Julius Caesar, have an affair with him, and his assassination, and Mark Antony, and a couple of civil wars, and by the end of it, Ptolemaic Egypt, or Hellenistic Egypt, belonged to Rome.
Okay.
And Cleopatra was dead.
Oh, it's terrible. Okay.
40 years after that, Hero was born.
Okay.
10 AD. And I was looking at something that says he made it to 70 AD. So I get 60 years old. That's a pretty good age for the time period.
No kidding. Yeah, yeah.
Good 2,000 years ago.
Right.
He did have some drawings, but they're not sure if he ever built the thing. He wanted to run an organ with a windmill.
Okay. Like the musical one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, right there, I'm like, oh, they had organs, did they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Then we got his coin-operated dispenser.
Oh, for the holy water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know this one. This one's so simple. You drop a coin through the slot, and it lands on the end of a pan. If the coin is big enough and heavy enough, or you have a coin-shaped rock, that'll work too. The pan will tip down, and will open a valve, and some water comes out. And then the coin slides off the end of the pan, and the counterweight pulls it back up, and the valve shuts. And you get a measured amount of holy water.
Da-da.
And, yeah, so there's your vending machine. The automatic doors.
Okay.
Okay. So what you have is an altar.
I do? I do.
Yes, in front of your temple.
Mm-hmm.
And your temple has these massive doors. I always picture double doors.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't really know. I suppose it depends upon your budget.
All right.
Now you, the high priest, you set a fire in the altar.
Okay.
And now, underneath it, is a sealed container of water.
Oh,
not
okay.
Totally sealed. It's got a siphon in there towards the bottom of that container.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not have a little air gap.
Okay.
As that thing heats up, the pressure inside of it builds up, and it starts to push the water down the hosey.
Okay.
And then it fills up some buckets.
Okay.
And eventually, the weight of the water in the receiving buckets is enough to make the temple doors swing open.
Ooh, mystical.
Yeah.
Fancy.
And one documentary I mentioned at the end of that, through his use of compressed air and whatnot, there was also a little fanfare as the trumpets play. I don't know if that's true or not. But as well, with it, he wrote all this stuff down, right? And some of it seems to be in the form of lecture notes.
Right.
Like he called his automatic doors Machine 37.
Okay.
He was a heck of a mathematician. But he was specifically interested in how mathematics and mechanics came together. He's, you know, one of the first modern engineers.
Oh, well, good.
Or someone to approach it that way.
Good for Hero Harry.
Yeah, Hero Harry. Doesn't that sound like a species of bird?
Yeah.
I saw me, one of them Hero Herons. Had a bill full of fish. So he also dug pulleys.
Did he?
There, there's my segue back out.
No,
also smooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a great segue, but I can only remember the beginning and the end. I can move on to the rest of the episode at this point.
Or we could just keep talking, I mean.
There's been a lot of that this time. Invention of gears.
Ah.
You put teeth on your wheel so they can mesh together. Probably about 2700 BC.
Okay.
Before the pulley, actually. The first use of them we're aware of is in the South Pointing Chariot.
Okay, okay.
This is a cart they had in China.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not using any magnets. Just mechanically, it keeps track of which direction you're pointing and how far you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps the pointer pointed in the compass direction you set it to.
Mechanically?
Yeah. Some sort of differential gears, I would guess.
Any gyros?
And everybody has to guess. They're not really sure.
Is there a hamster in the wheel?
Yes, but that's just for fun. In the 4th century BC, Aristotle was talking about a wheel that turned another wheel in another the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a gear.
Very much so, yeah.
And by 3rd century BC, there were water wheels and water clocks all over the Greek peninsula.
A lot of gears, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But nobody really talks about them until our hero, Heron. In about 50 AD, who describes them in detail.
Oh, he got to go on a trip or something. I mean, or is he Chinese?
Blink. No, what? No, not the carts. Gears. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Aha.
Before that, 100 BC, the ancient Greeks definitely already had gears. They used it to build this antiochic device. Yeah, I can't pronounce it.
What's it do?
it's a calendar, an astronomical calculator.
Ooh.
You turn the crank, they think it had. And then it shows the position of various astronomical bodies.
Right.
It seemed to also have things to ring up dates, like... It wasn't the Olympics, like in the city of Olympia, but it was the same thing. Every 4 years, this Olympic festival happened.
Oh, okay.
30 gears or more inside. Mm-hmm. Nothing this sophisticated, the article says, would be built for another 1,000 years. I'm not entirely convinced. Some of those water clocks were pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
Antikythera mechanism? Does that sound vaguely... That's how Jaws says it.
I mean, none of this strikes me as... I don't know the names of any of this stuff, so I can't help.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Somewhere around the 1400s, Leonardo da Vinci did a lot of calculations with these things, including pulleys and levers and gears and gear ratios and all that stuff, where they worked all of this out, including the concept of trading distance for force, mechanical advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that none of these machines actually are magic.
That is important.
But yeah, it's funny. We don't have any writings of somebody explaining something as simple as gears when they had them for centuries beforehand.
Well, they're so simple, though. Maybe they just, you know, they're like, oh,
yeah. That's not about a machine. All right. So they had all these tricks and techniques, right?
Yes.
All right. But they made some... nifty things that are arguably robots.
Oh, hey.
But we're going to talk about that
Oh.
next time. See you then.
Bye.